Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we are exploring some fascinating subjects today. In fact, a little bit later, we'll be talking about writings on an unknown history. What is that all about? You'll find out. But right now, let's talk about a few things. First of all, of course, we have last week's episode featuring Ken Thomas. Ken Thomas is the parapolitical or conspiracy theorist of the ages. He covers quite a bit of ground, and that started a pretty active discussion in our forums. Now, to be blunt about it, now I should mention here, I've got a letter from somebody who's a longtime listener who says we shouldn't be talking about the forums.
Oh? What?
You know, we shouldn't be concentrating on the forums. You know, we really should not talk to the forums. We should keep that as a separate thing. Leave it on the boards.
But we're an interactive program. We embrace our forum participants. I mean, we just had a wonderful round table with some of our active posters. You know, we're trying to move the whole paradigm of talk radio into an interactive realm, a la the internet. So what's the problem? What do you think, Gene?
I think that what makes this show special is that we have that interactivity with our forums. Some shows, they just take calls from listeners, and that's it. In our case, because of the structure of the show and the fact that we do tape in advance, we're not able yet, I say yet, to take calls from listeners. But this way, if you take calls, the problem is that you can only take a few. If the show is popular, and we hope that we're very popular, you'll have lots of people fighting to get connected. So you may have 100 people calling you, but you can only take 5 calls. So therefore, 95 people are left out. With our forums, anybody can join. That's it. Anybody can join. As long as you follow a few simple terms of service, you don't get too abusive, you don't commit illegal acts, you get in there. It's just as simple as that. It's free. If you go to forum.theparacast.com, you are on equal footing with everybody.
Including us. We actually actively participate and interact with our listeners and our forum participants. It's very important for us to have a give and take, a dialogue, established dialogues with folks out there who, like us, are really fascinated by the subjects that we cover.
And the key thing here is that we participate. We don't simply hire some moderators who run the show for us. We have moderators. They're volunteers, and they help keep things going. But Chris and I go in there, and we do our own work. And we respond to people, and we talk to people, because we don't consider ourselves better than anyone else. In fact, you know, there are a lot of people there really a lot smarter than we are. So we work with them.
But they take me to school. We won't even get into that. But yeah, there are some very, very bright people at forum.theparacast.com.
And we're not selling anything there. It's free. Okay? It's free. You join it. You participate or you don't participate. You could lurk. Sit back, learn. Another comment from the person in question says, we shouldn't be negative about past shows. Well, if we get a guest who did a lousy job or didn't demonstrate a knowledge of his subject or says some really stupid things, we're going to say so. That's part of what the Paracast has always been. Whether it's been me or Chris or our previous co-host, when we have a show that didn't turn out the way we like, we don't make excuses for it. We tell you straight out we weren't happy. If the guest was a disappointment, like a certain Werner Bach, who could tell you?
We back engineer it, and you know, we dive in there with everybody else.
You know, as a matter of fact, I remember one of our previous co-hosts, he once put up a note on the Paracast forum saying, this show is so bad, don't listen to it. Now, maybe that was going a bit too far. We'd like to say, listen to the show and come to your own conclusions. I have a suspicion that particular episode in question got far more listeners because listeners were told not to listen.
A little reverse psychology.
It's something like that. It's like... I guess there are other shows out there, rival shows, who say don't listen to the Paracast for one reason or another. But we don't go on there and say don't listen to a show. Yes, we'll rag on Coast to Coast AM because it's the number one show in the field. And it's because it has a number of failings that we'll criticize them for. But we don't say don't listen to them. You know, we're in no position to say that. Listen to whatever show you want. Or don't listen to whatever show you want. If you don't like what we do, don't listen. If you like what we do, we hope you will continue to listen. There you go. Meantime, you're working on a new book, Chris, called Stalking the Herd, right?
Correct.
I remember the title.
Very
and
good.
You've been doing a lot of investigations of cattle deaths and mutilations. Anything new in that area?
Yeah, it's amazing how some subjects in the paranormal, if you want to call cattle mutilations paranormal, I think the more I get into it, the less paranormal it appears to me. But a lot of subjects in this realm ebb and flow. And, you know, the whole idea of livestock deaths, unexplained livestock deaths, have been around since the late 60s. And interest in it tends to ebb and flow. And for some reason, Gene, we've seen a real uptick in interest with the media in this subject. And I've been contacted here in the last week or so by a number of programs in Canada, the UK, the US, who are interested in doing segments on this particular quote-unquote mystery. And I find it intriguing that, you know, for months and months, nobody professed any sort of interest, and then in a single day I got all these phone calls. I've, you know, if I was Ken Thomas, maybe I'd be scratching my head going,
Well, I hear you scratching your head. What's that noise? Is that a scratch? Let's see. Hold on, let me scratch. Do you hear that? Not really. It just sounds like silly microphone noise stuff. How's this work? Listen.
Right.
Did you hear that?
Ooh, it feels good. A little higher.
A little higher? Wait a minute.
Yeah. Right there. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about psychic phenomena here. Chris is, what, 100 miles from me? And if I could scratch his head, and that's a real head scratcher, I'll tell you. You know, anyway, back to the herd.
Well, I've been posting a number of videos that I've taken over the years. People have been dogging me for years. Why don't you have your video up on YouTube? And quite frankly, there's very little quality footage of real cattle mutilation cases up on the web. And because I am gearing up to publish a book, which I would hope to be the definitive look at demystifying the mystery of cattle mutilations, which we can talk about, but I've gone ahead and I've been slowly putting up some YouTube videos that feature some of my more intriguing cases that I videotaped back in the 90s, and just to give listeners and viewers a sense of what it's like to be out in the field working with ranchers, working with law enforcement, and documenting these very perplexing, head-scratching cases.
We're going to have to look for some really good sound effects, some head-scratching sound effects. So whenever we have a head-scratching case on the PowerCast, ladies and gentlemen, we will have the head-scratching sound. I'll look for a good sound. We'll have to do that because I don't think what I do. Here. That doesn't sound like anything, does it? Sounds preposterous. I mean, even, for example, in old radio, when they had the sound of hoofbeats, it wasn't a real horse, was it? Tell us about our guest for today. Fascinating stuff.
Oh, boy. I am really looking forward to today's Paracast episode. Richard Smalley is a graduate of Harvard and Oxford, and he is an extremely gifted writer, number one. He was an editor for Gnosis magazine for quite a number of years, and he's written a book called Supernatural, and I'm telling you, Gene, this is going to be sitting by my bedside, slowly getting annotated with little sticky notes and underlines. This is really good stuff. This is one of the more gifted writers, I think, that the Paracast has ever featured on the show, and I'm really looking forward to getting his take on, as he calls it, the supernatural, writings on an unknown history. And this is right down the Paracast alley.
Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, coming up next on
the Paracast.
This has got to be familiar if you live in a certain part of the country right now. Horrible weather can severely affect your ability to get to the office. Road closures, major traffic jams. But just because you can't make it into the office doesn't mean business stops. That's why I highly recommend GoToMyPC by Citrix. You can access your entire office computer from your home, so you don't have to risk a dangerous commute or worry about falling short on a project. You know, I love my copy of GoToMyPC. It's my lifeline to my work computer from home. But our listeners can also try GoToMyPC for 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code PODCAST. Then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com. Try it free. The promo code, ladies and gentlemen, is PODCAST.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNLive.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, joins us on the Paracast this week. The subtitle of the book is Writings on Unknown History, and it's a collection of papers that you did, Richard. Welcome to the show. And I think the cool thing to ask first is, focusing so much of your life on occult or esoteric studies, how did that come about? Any personal experience involved, or just your interests flew that way?
Well, I can't say that there have been any, like, really mind-shattering experiences or any of that would really stand out in kind of a conversion experience type way. But I have always had this sense of something deeper going on than conventional reality would like to admit. I've had an enormous appetite for this ever since I was young. So, and I've investigated some of these areas both, you know, in an intellectual way and in a experiential way. So, I have something to say about it.
Have you had any personal experiences that you thought were just real unusual?
Yeah, and this, in a way, I mean, one that comes to mind is gives a good example of some of the things that I guess would like to say about the paranormal. About 21 years ago, I was doing a story on Native American spirituality, and I went to spend a few days with a medicine man up in Nevada, or out in Nevada, or as it, the preposition is. And when I was leaving, he had one of his people give me kind of a traditional blessing for my car on with tobacco, offering to the six directions, which is a pretty standard Native American practice. And I thought, well, this was all very nice. But I had a very weird experience while coming back. And I was, this was in Nevada. I was living in California at the time. And I was going home over the Donner Summit in California. This was not, you know, this was not a terribly late in the season. It was like in late September. I was in the fast lane. And right behind me, kind of pulling up right behind me, was this red sports car. I thought, well, God, this is obnoxious. I'll just get out of his way. That's that. So I did. I pulled into the slow lane. And the minute I did, a freak storm appeared, a freak snowstorm, which made the road very, very slippery. And right before my eyes, or behind my eyes, I saw that sports car go right through a metal rail down a very, very deep crevice. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, is this paranormal in some sort of, like, really occult sense? Well, not really. You know, there's nothing there that happened that, you know, defies the laws of nature as such. This could happen to anybody, but I thought it was very, very curious, and that I'd had it right after going this experience with this medicine man led me to think about it and to think there might be some connection. So I guess I would, one thing I would say about paranormal experiences in general is they often take that form. They're not necessarily ghost apparitions. They're not necessarily UFO sightings, although people have those, as you know. But something kind of funny happens, and you can never really quite place your finger on it, even though, you know, the logical facts kind of break down and, you know, well, it was a storm and there are storms over the Donner Summit. And, you know, I was lucky enough to slow down and that kind of thing. But it was curious to have had that after that, you know, blessing by the medicine man's assistant.
That sounds rather synchronistic.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, it was very, very peculiar. And this particular medicine man, whose name was Rolling Thunder, I mean, he's now deceased, but he was quite well known. And
you mean as in Rolling Thunder Review and the Bob Dylan tour in 76?
Yeah, that was named after him. And he was friendly with a lot of rock stars, particularly in the 70s. But you know, he was also known for having certain power over controlling the weather. Now, I had no reason to believe he called up that storm or anything like that. But it was, as you say, synchronistic. It had a certain kind of oddness about it that, you know, led me to think, well, I guess the real conclusion I got was, you know, you're dealing with someone here who actually has real power, so don't do anything stupid or write anything stupid about him.
Now, Rolling Thunder, wasn't he, was Lakota, correct?
No, he was part Cherokee.
Cherokee, okay, a little south.
He was more,
and east.
I mean, he did live in Nevada, at the time. He lived in Nevada for a long time, and died, I think in the 90s. A new book has just come out about him, but, I don't remember the exact date.
So have you done much investigation and research into Native American spirituality and their particular interesting insights into what the rest of us would call sort of paranormal or supernatural sort of forces, energies, practices?
A little bit. It's certainly not an area that I'm an expert on, but I've looked into it a little. And one thing I guess I would say is that there's this very strong sense in the, you know, the psychologist C.G. Jung noted this, that there is, in a sense, kind of a spirit of place that all of us share. He wrote a curious essay called The Complications of American Psychology in which, you know, essentially, you know, he was over here. He said he saw kind of Native American characteristics in, you know, many people were obviously not ethnically from that background. It's an interesting area because I think it's an area where kind of the dominant, you know, majority culture needs to sort of figure out where exactly how do we fit in with the land. We're not like Europeans, like the British. You know, the British have been there for thousands and thousands of years. You know, they really go back to prehistory despite various conquests and whatnot. And, you know, although not everybody is like really into that stuff over there, you do get a sense of a much greater integration with the landscape than you do, among Americans, you know, particularly, you know, people, you know, Sam's only been here like a few generations.
So do you think that might tie into why, the UK is considered one of the more haunted places on the planet? I seem to have read some pretty interesting sort of analogies of haunting sites and how England seems to be just rife with them. They're per capita, I think there's more haunted sites in England than any other place in the Western world. Do you think this tradition of being there for so many years lends itself to possibly layering these types of phenomenal effects and events and occurrences onto the populace as they progress through time?
Richard's answer will come in a moment. We have Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, Writings on an Unknown History. He'll answer Chris's question. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey neighbors, got a small business or a large company that needs to be online 24/7? Well, here's the little secret. To make sure your site is always online, you need world-class DNS service from Dyn. That's D-Y-N. For years, Dyn has been helping companies ranging from the scrappy young startup to the giant media moguls of the world with making sure websites are fast and always available and that your emails are getting delivered. DYN. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com. That's dyn.com/podcast30. Check them out today.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCMteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCMteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're proud to be talking to Richard Smalley. He's author of Supernatural. It is a classy book. It reads classy and it looks classy. And Chris asked a question about the greater prevalence of unusual events, say hauntings in the UK, Richard?
Yeah, I lived in the UK for a couple of years as a student. That was my impression, that there was a great deal more of that, and there's, you know, a great deal more lore about it. I think one reason, you know, this is kind of practical, is that the houses are much older. You know, for us, an old house is, you know, a house that's 100 years old. In Britain, an old house.
Yeah, that was just built yesterday.
Right, yeah, you know, an old house, someone might, you know, well be living in a house that was built in the time of Henry VIII or something like that.
And yeah, here, by the way, if you move into a house that old, it falls apart next week.
Well, there's always that problem, too. I'm not big on maintenance myself, so I might not be the ideal person to have a house like that. But I think, you know, if something has been inhabited for, you know, 400 years or so, there's a lot more that's gone on. There are a lot more deaths that have happened there. There are a lot more people who've gone through it, a lot more people who are likely to have left some kind of psychic mark or residue on it. So I think that, you know, is definitely part of the scene over there. And certainly not every old house is haunted, but, you know, you certainly hear a lot more stories about it. A friend of mine who's I think his father's family originally came from the Dublin area, you know, told me about staying at this old house and having this old man come into his room one night who I guess was deceased.
Well, that brings up to mind China, India, parts of Africa, where you have very, very ancient dwellings that have been continuously inhabited for many generations. Do you see kind of a correlation between the actual proximity and age of a dwelling and the amount of people that have cycled through there as perhaps lending itself to more of a prevalence of potential haunting or residual type psychic effects?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, what are the most haunted parts of the U.S. or, you know, what are at least thought to be the most haunted parts of the U.S.? Well, probably New England. is high up there, and New England, where I'm from, you know, has its own rather special, sometimes spooky feel of its own. And I guess the other place I would say that has a lot is the South. And, you know, those are both parts of the U.S. that have been inhabited the longest. Not by European standards, it's still not very, you know, 400 years, not very long, but, you know, for us it's a long time. So yeah, I think that's, and in China and India, and this is a subject I'm interested in. I think one has to also take into account, and there aren't really words to describe this, but kind of the culture has its own psychic landscape. And in a curious sort of way, the beliefs, the practices of culture create a certain kind of landscape where things are more likely to happen. You know, the spirituality of India is quite a different place. And, you know, a lot of events that we would consider very paranormal are, you know, regarded, you know, in a fairly matter-of-fact way. And I have to say that, that part of the reason for that must be that, you know, the culture just accepts it so well. Whereas here, I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, you have to at least pay lip service to skepticism, right? You know, you have to, you know, if you don't kind of pretend to be skeptical, people just think you're kind of credulous.
Boy, you should visit the Paracast Forum sometime. That's an understatement.
You know, yeah, and there's this, and, you know, skepticism about the paranormal has become kind of a quasi-religion in its own right, as you know. You know, and a lot of the, you know, the so-called skeptics are, you know, they're true believers as much as, you know, any devotee of any religion is.
Oh, here. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, you follow this field, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. So collective belief is a very powerful thing, and I don't think it's very well understood. And I don't think it's been very well studied. I read a fascinating book a couple of years ago. It was by a Russian named Bechterev. It was a psychologist in the early 20th century who the book was entitled Collective Reflexology, and it was a study of how moods and impulses passed between crowds. And he sort of thought there was almost like a, you know, kind of like an electrical impulse that, you know, could just pass through a crowd. Now, he lived through the Russian Revolution, and a lot of the anecdotes he describes of this Russian Revolution where, you know, people just suddenly kind of went crazy and killed somebody for no apparent reason. So he had a lot of material to study. But I think we have to be a lot more serious in at least recognizing that collective belief, you know, has a real role to play in how we perceive reality and what we perceive reality to be.
So would you be saying then that the collective belief may in and of itself create some of that reality?
Yeah, I think so. And it's
with 2012 and the Kali Yuga, I mean, these are two chapters in your book that I found very fascinating. Mm-hmm. With all this media hype about this 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar, there's 19 calendars and none of them end. I digress. But
right.
Where do we see a manifestation of this kind of riptide of belief surrounding 2012? What are your views on that?
Well, I think the 2012 phenomenon is very interesting in a way that's often been overlooked. Now, in the West, you know, particularly since Christianity triumphed, there's always been this very strong apocalyptic impulse. That is to say, this impulse to believe that the end of the world is at hand. There's even a website somewhere that kind of lists every year that someone predicted would be the end of the world. You know, there are a lot of years in the last 2,000 years.
Pages and pages and pages.
Pages and pages, you know. Maybe not every year, but pretty close to it. So there's this, again, this collective expectation of, you know, apocalypse. I mean, you can see, you know, the tabloids play on it, you know, the kind of the more sensationalistic tabloids play on it. And it's very, very deeply ingrained. in, you know, the way Western people think. Now, at the same time, people, the culture itself has been detaching itself from Christianity much more than it was even a generation ago. There's, you know, more people who identify themselves as non-affiliated. There's, you know, religious belief, spiritual belief may be as strong as ever, but it's certainly less and less linked to any kind of institutional or dogmatic belief. So you have people who are, a kind of a cultural collective mindset that, has this real background in apocalypse and expectation of the end of the world, and kind of an increased kind of lack of interest in Christianity, which is the, you know, chief language in which this has usually been formulated. So what I find interesting about the 2012 phenomenon is that, you know, it is this kind of typical apocalyptic scenario. At least that's what it was turned into. But for the first time in Western history, the mythos behind it was not Christian or Judeo-Christian. It was not of a native culture.
I'll tell you what, we'll go into more of Mayan mysteries and all sorts of unusual phenomena. We have Richard Smalley. The book is called Supernatural. And you have the supernatural Gene and the supernatural Chris, and it has nothing whatever to do with a TV show of a similar name, because you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body?
Yes, microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. Microplant powder removes virus, fungus, and bacteria while cleaning and purifying the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. It unclogs arteries and softens heart valves. Plus, microplant powder can be taken with any liquid, any pharmaceutical, at any time.
It's truly the easiest and most cost-effective way to clean and detoxify your body for around $10 a month. Microplant powder from hempusa.org. It really works. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with Microplant Powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neofera. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to Neofera.com, spelled Neofera.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at Neofera.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, joins Gene and Chris. We're on the Paracast, and we were looking, I guess, here at collective realities. And maybe I go back to what Carl Jung said in the 50s when he wrote his book about UFOs, mm-hmm. the modern myth of things seen in the sky, et cetera, et cetera. Whether if enough people believe in ghosts or UFOs, they shall come. Are we focusing on that a little bit?
Yeah, or at least people are going to experience them. I mean, to take another example, I remember reading a description of, a witch trial from, I don't know, maybe 1600 or so, several years ago. And this man testifying in court, because this was a real trial, real legal procedure, testified, to the jury that he had turned himself into a toad. And, the jury and the judge took him at his word. This was like, serious factual, procedure. This was
right, and they frog walked him to the burning stake.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm sure they did, but the thing about it is that at that point, the view of reality was such that you could turn yourself into a frog or a toad, and do some good or evil that way. People believed it. And no one questioned it as a piece of factual testimony. Whereas if someone, said that today, then they would get off on an insanity plea, right?
Well, no, they'd accuse him of actually licking Bufo Valerius, the DMT
toad. Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's one psychedelic drug that hasn't really gotten incredibly popular over here. I don't know if that's due to come or not. But
yeah, when in doubt, lick the toad.
Well, if it's on enough reality shows, people will embrace it.
Right. and that's there's a lot of reality shows and a lot of kind of mass interest in the paranormal is. In a way, there's a universal kind of, I would say, human need to believe that there's more to reality than, what an eighth grade science textbook is going to tell you.
No, I'm not sure. I think the younger generation, I mean, we're talking jaded. I mean, it doesn't matter what sort of belief system you come up with, they're going to have some sort of comeback and some jaded sort of cynical response that is going to, put a humorous spin on it, but negate it at the same time. I think at least in this country, we're seeing a trend towards the opposite, where people are so jaded, they're so overwhelmed by the media and all these subjects that, just don't really grip younger people. I think we're seeing some sort of a, like, sway to the opposite end of the spectrum.
that could be. I mean, I mean, you could say a lot of things about youth culture, and I wouldn't be able to really say, you know, whether you're right or wrong. My experience of youth culture, kind of came from teaching at a community college for a few years, in Massachusetts, but, even that's been a while back. I think there's this jadedness, but there's still, an enormous amount of belief in things like the afterlife, belief in God, if you believe the polls, 90% of people believe in God or at least some sort of supreme being or some sort of, higher power. One thing that's always fascinated me, is, when they do polls on belief in reincarnation. And I've seen a number of these, that have been conducted over the last couple of decades, and they're pretty consistent. The numbers always seem to end up someplace between 21 and 28% of the U.S. population that believes in reincarnation. How many of these are young people and how many are, older people? I don't really know. But there is still, a lot of belief in these things. One of the things I found fascinating about, it was a Harris poll I remember from 2007 that, said that indeed 21% of, Americans, believed in reincarnation and 25% of American Catholics believed in it. Which was kind of curious given that, the more Catholics who believe in reincarnation than in the population as a whole, even though their own church has always taught against it. So what's going on there, I think one thing is that people at least like to think of themselves as very independent-minded and, just because the church says so, doesn't mean they're going to buy it. And that I think, is one element of the jadedness and, skepticism I think that you're talking about. But I think there's still, an enormous appetite for belief in that sort of thing. I mean, the most obvious, one, and I'm sure you've dealt with this on your show is, the fascination with the near-death experience. There's so many near-death experiences, so many, bestsellers out about, near-death experiences, there's a real appetite for it. And there's some jadedness about it. But there's still, a lot of real interest and, desire to know, not necessarily to believe, but to know, that there are other realities beyond, the ones that we normally take for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. We had PMH Atwater as one of our guests here a couple of months back, and we had a fascinating discussion about the whole subject of near-death experiences. But in your book, The Dice Game of Shiva, one of the things that I was really struck by is that you showed that consciousness is not just a mere side effect of neural processes, but it somehow is tied into how the universe actually functions. There's some sort of like mechanistic connection there. How does belief and in actual the process of consciousness, where do we see that sort of combining together in a collective sense?
That's a pretty intricate question. The Dice Game of Shiva is, the previous book I wrote. It was published in 2009 and it was a study of, consciousness. And basically what I was trying to say in that book is that I define consciousness, which a lot of books on consciousness don't do, as the capacity to relate self and other. And this is true kind of in all ways and at all levels. So that consciousness is just not, as you say, kind of an epiphenomenon of the brain that's limited to humans and therefore kind of like this weird aberration, but it's present in all things in some form or another. In that book, I quoted, an interview with Edison who said, you know, all of these chemicals are able to interact with each other, you know, in all these marvelous ways. Do you mean to say they do that without some kind of consciousness? That is to say, you know, it's not saying like, you know, they have conscious will in the way that we do, but at some level, in some way, a hydrogen atom has to know how to recognize an oxygen atom and react with it in a certain way in certain circumstances to produce water. The way I'm seeing it, so that consciousness, you know, is organic to everything. And our consciousness is only a very, 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 small slice of that. You know, even supposedly inanimate things do possess consciousness in a way. You know, we all know plants have, you know, certain types of consciousness, you know, the Book of Secret Life of Plants. So that's the answer to that part of the question. You know, but I think you're also asking about, you know.
Well, in training, consciousness and training other aspects of consciousness together into some sort of kind of a formula where it's like a self-creating and self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, going back to the top of our particular conversation here about 2012 and the power of belief and collective, you know, the collective consciousness actually manifesting something just out of pure belief and focusing, you know, collectively on something to such an extent that you actually, you know, manifest that which you're obsessing with.
This is a question that we'll pursue in our next segment, because we have another kind of collective unconscious to explore right now, the collective unconscious of all our sponsors working together to convince you to buy their products or services so we could stay on the air. Isn't that good?
That was good, Gene.
I know. I'm going to patent that, and we can sell it next week. The book is Supernatural from Richard Smalley. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.